This is the Adam Gold Show.
Auntie Ranta, more than enough in goal for the Hurricanes to advance if they play their game. Now, if the Hurricanes leave it up to Ranta or any goaltender, probably not going to win the series.
Maybe not.
Because that's not the way the Hurricanes play. Mm-hmm. The Hurricanes do not let their goaltenders determine the outcome. I mean, if they play poorly, that will happen.
Sure.
But just normal, standard Carolina Hurricanes goaltending, be it from Ranta or Anderson or the rookie Peter Kochetkov, is enough if Carolina does their thing. Now, winning a Stanley Cup, you're going to need your goaltender to steal you a game or two along the way. Antti Ranta played incredibly well against the Boston Bruins. Incredibly well against the Bruins. Yeah. I'm not concerned about it. I have other bones to pick.
Oh,
though
bones.
with coverage, but I'm gonna hold off on that.
Oh, okay.
I'm not gonna play the "Are you people watching?" card.
You know they're not.
Well, I've said this about the Hurricanes all year long. Like, I think that, I mean, again, I consume a lot of national NHL media, mm-hmm, because it enhances my own coverage of the Hurricanes, be it from like an opponent standpoint or being able to compare the Hurricanes and other teams. Because I'm not going to lie, I ain't watching, you know, 6 hours of hockey every night when the Hurricanes are not playing. I mean, I do watch other teams. I watch the teams that Carolina plays, but I'm not spending a whole bunch of time doing that. But it is clear to me that many in the national media don't spend a lot of time watching the Hurricanes, and I'm not even suggesting that they have to. But at some point, the records tell you. Like, the Hurricanes have the third best record in the sport. Third best.
Yeah.
Second year in a row, by the way, for that. Although last year we can just toss in the trash because last year was last year, and that's a weird year anyway. But it went Florida 1, Colorado 2, mm-hmm, Carolina 3.
That's good last time I checked.
Yeah, no, it's very good, which means that this is a team that can win a Stanley Cup in spite of what Hurricanes Twitter tells you. Mm-hmm. Because when the Hurricanes are not winning a game, Hurricanes Twitter will tell you how much the team sucks, doesn't even belong in the playoffs. I wish I was kidding about that. We're not a playoff team, I got from several people in games 3 and 4 against Boston.
Yep.
Sebastian Aho, no good in the postseason. He's never been good in the postseason, other than the fact that he's better than a point a game. Actually, I think he's right one below it now.
I think he has 40 points in 41 games.
It's 41 points in 42 games.
Something like
believe,
that,
right?
Yeah.
Like, other than that, anyway. So we'll correct some things a little bit later on. Talk to Rod Brindamore in about 10 minutes. Canes and the New York Rangers start game 1 tonight. So without further ado, and I will point this out very quickly. There's a preview podcast. Canes Corner podcast with some thoughts that I have about the Hurricanes versus the New York Rangers. If you didn't hear our conversation with Linda Cohn yesterday, that's there. If you didn't hear our conversation with Michael Leboeuf, for those of you who are interested in wagering on any of the first round series, you can catch that. Also, our conversation with Brendan Smith, Hurricanes defenseman, all part of the Round 2 Preview Canes Corner podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. Give us a rating, give us a review, whatever. I don't care. I don't care. All right, we'll talk more about the Canes and the Rangers with Rod Brindamore in 10 minutes. By the way, last night, Tampa wins 4-1, Game 1. I think Tampa's going to win the series. I said this yesterday. I thought Florida would win game 1, but Tampa's wasting no time. kind of trying to big brother Florida. I heard from a number of people about this series, about the Florida Panthers, before the playoffs started, that they didn't believe that Florida's up-and-down game, essentially fast-break hockey, would work in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were better than Washington. They were fortunate, I thought, to beat Washington. But they were better than Washington. I don't know that this is going to work against the Tampa Bay Lightning, who are designed to beat you, no matter who you are. They are designed to beat you. 4-1 last night. Colorado wins in overtime, 3-2. You won one of your bets.
Yeah, I did.
I didn't win any of mine.
That's a rarity.
What, for me? Nah, man, I've been...
No, for me.
It is a rarity for you. You were still down in the night.
Well,
not trying to pump your tires here, but I was 0-3 for like the second day in a row.
I'm gonna call it a win for me.
I really should have gone 2-1 Liverpool. I thought about doing 2-1, but I thought Liverpool was just gonna try to get one and be done. They needed two because Southampton scored first. Never mind. I'll move on. All right, to the NBA, sir.
Butler drives to his right, slams on the brakes, back out to Struce, relocates, gets it, fires, but three, got it! Oh, Jimmy Buckets with a big one!
Gosh, what a third quarter. What an absolute beat him down in the third quarter by the Miami Heat. We're going to sit here all spring and talk about how Jimmy Butler can't do this, or Jimmy Butler isn't that, and he's just going to be out here taking souls, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what Jimmy Butler is going to do. You know, he had four, like, in his Miami Heat run, he's had four 40-point games.
Ooh.
I'm sorry, five. Now five.
Oh, five.
They're all in the postseason.
Goodness.
Jimmy Butler is not here for your game playing. Eric Spoelstra talked about Butler's abilities that go beyond basketball. Here's the Miami Heat head coach on his star.
Jimmy just really inspired everybody in that third quarter. Those two steals kind of changed the momentum. And then every time and pocket in the game when we needed to control, you know, the game or get the right shot or make the right decision, Jimmy had his fingerprints on that. You know, you're seeing great two-way basketball, really, on both sides.
Here's Butler on the third quarter.
More than anything, it just shows us what we're capable of whenever we worry about getting stops, getting into the open floor, getting to the free throw line, all of those good things. It just reminds me that we can do it. I see it on this piece of paper. I lived it, so I expect us to be able to do that every quarter from here on out.
No, you're not going to do that every quarter from here on out, but 39-14, that was the score in the third quarter.
Goodness.
I think Boston was up 8 at halftime.
Yeah, they were up 8
right?
at half. I was feeling good.
You were feeling very good.
Very good.
Boston had 62 points at halftime, I think,
sure.
Something like that. And Miami came out, and it was over. I said this before about the Heat. We get enamored by the sexy offensive players on other teams.
Mm-hmm.
Miami doesn't really have that. They don't have the guy who's going to make it look pretty. Jimmy Butler scored 41 last night on 17 field goal attempts and did not make a three-pointer. Yeah, didn't make a three-pointer.
That doesn't make sense.
41 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals, 3 blocks. That is just utter domination. Utter domination. To me, this is what Butler is, man. Spoelstra also said that there are people who play basketball and people who compete to win. And that's all Jimmy Butler does is compete to win. It is a remarkable thing. I'm not backing off ultimately my prediction that this will be the Celtics in seven. But Jimmy Butler just let everybody know that there's enough there.
Yeah.
There's enough there with Jimmy Butler. Look, they didn't even get great performance out of Bam Adebayo.
At 10-4.
Yeah, they got basically nothing from Duncan Robinson didn't even play. A couple of years ago, Duncan Robinson was every other game was scoring like 26.
Yeah.
He didn't even get off the bench. So, and they don't have Kyle Lowry yet, who is another guy, by the way, who is only out here to beat you.
Yeah.
He's only out here to beat you. If Kyle Lowry can get over his hamstring issue, that's a problem.
Boston was without Al Horford.
Yep.
Health and safety protocol. And they're also without Marcus Smart.
Huge pieces. Mm-hmm. Smart has a lot of the same qualities that Jimmy Butler does. Al Horford also, right? He is that. He is a difficult matchup for the Heat to deal with. And it's obvious that they missed them, but they didn't miss them in the first half. They scored 62 without both of them, but it was a different story in the third quarter, a different story. All right, game one, Warriors-Mavs. Is the dynasty coming back? And I asked that question that way because I read an article this morning about the Warriors being one of the great dynasties in modern NBA history, and it's hard to disagree with that. Mm-hmm. They won three championships in a five-year span. They lost in the finals in year two of that and year five of that. They lost to LeBron James with an out-of-body LeBron James experience.
Yeah.
Right? Well, I shouldn't say that. He does that a lot. But, you know, that was the year where the Cavaliers actually stayed relatively healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Kyrie Irving. Kevin Love, big parts of that, and other players too. And then in the fifth year, with Golden State essentially down everybody, remember Klay Thompson got hurt again, mm-hmm. right? I think Kevin Durant got hurt in that year as well.
Yeah, he had the Achilles.
So you had Durant and Klay Thompson both go down, and they lost to the Kawhi Leonard Toronto Raptors. I mean, it really is. It is the modern-day dynasty. Then they took 2 years off with massive amounts of injuries and everything else that went on. And now they are poised to get back to the NBA Finals for the first time in three seasons. And all they have to do is stop one of the all-time great offensive machines in Luka Doncic.
Yeah.
That's all they got to do. Except it ain't going to be easy. It really will take the best effort defensively from Golden State to do it. So it starts tonight. I think 9:00 is game time. Draft lottery last night.
The Charlotte Hornets.
They picked 13th. What we need is the sound effect of like a lottery, right?
Mm.
All of or maybe a game show. Beep 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 boop, beep 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 beep. So the Orlando Magic.
Our luck, is that what we're doing?
Could
here?
Be. The Orlando Magic get the first pick for the fourth time. Dennis, can you name the other three first overall picks the Orlando Magic took?
Shaq?
1992, Shaquille O'Neal. They had the first overall pick the following year as well.
I want to say Penny Hardaway.
Ah, they ended up with Penny Hardaway, but he was not the first pick. He was the third pick.
Oh.
Timeout. It's a hint.
Timeout. Oh, Chris Webber.
Yes.
That's right.
Chris Webber.
That's right.
And then 11 years after drafting Chris Webber and trading him to Golden State, by the way.
Yeah.
For Penny Hardaway.
It was Dwight Howard.
Dwight Howard in 2004.
Two out of three. That's better than my sports bets.
Well, yeah, I give you partial credit for getting Hardaway.
Yeah.
Because that was the player they ended up with.
Like Doncic wasn't drafted by the Mavericks. He was drafted by the Hawks.
That's right. And traded for, was it Trae Young? It's not a good trade. For those people who care, the Knicks continue to not move up. The curse of the frozen envelope.
Ah, of course.
The Knicks will pick 11th. But the Hornets will pick 13th. Who did you see in the mock draft?
Mark Williams from Duke.
I think if the Hornets could come out of this draft with Mark Williams or somebody that resembles Mark Williams, defensive-minded center with some offensive upside, mm-hmm. and that's what I think Mark Williams is, if they could come out of this draft with somebody that they could plug into their lineup like that, I think that would be a good draft. I really do. All right, there's a big hockey game tonight.
Let's do that hockey.
There you go. Thank you, Chance the Rapper. And let's talk to the head coach about it, shall we? Rod Brind'Amour, what is the difference between the Boston Bruins and the New York Rangers?
Well, I think there's better goaltending on the Rangers. Obviously, I think that guy's up for a lot of awards for a good reason. Yep. So that's the big difference. Same similarities are, you know, the high-end talent. You know, we had that problem. We had that, you know, consideration with Boston where, you know, you got some real high-end guys, and Rangers have that too. So similarities, but I think, you know, that goaltending is probably the big difference.
Does it matter that essentially the Rangers and the Bruins are on different timelines in their development? Boston, I'm not saying was on the way down, but they'd been around for a long time. This Rangers team, I don't think they came out of nowhere. I thought they'd be a playoff team this year. But they are certainly on the ascent coming off a rebuild. Does that matter?
No. No, I don't see that mattering at all. I think, you know, get to this point, like we said before the playoffs even started, we had eight teams in the East that were all capable of winning, and you know, Rangers are obviously in that mix.
Is there a different psychology when you're the favorite in a playoff series at all?
So we're the favorite? Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying, yes. You were the favorite in the previous round, too.
No, I don't. You know, that's just, I don't know, that stuff for other people to talk about. I mean, we got a job to do, and I don't think there's any psychology in it. I mean, I think if it's a big difference, one team always says it's we're the underdog and they play that card. But I think everyone knows that it's such an even, you know, like I said, 1-8 this year, I think everyone was very, very, you know, capable of beating each other, and everyone knows it.
I agree with you, by the way, that there is everybody plays that card. How do you create a chip on your shoulder right now?
Yeah, that's a good question, right? Because, you know, come off an emotional series that, you know, obviously all that went on in that one was pretty much all you're going to see. I mean, you couldn't have much more other than maybe overtime games. We had pretty much it all in that last series. And it's hard to, you know, you took a little breather here. We had 3 days. And, you know, to get right, you got to get right back at it. You got to get right back into that kind of emotional and physical investment that, you know, be needed to win. So how do you do it? Well, you talk about it, you try to get prepared as best you can, and then obviously you got to go out there and do it.
Rod Brind'Amour is joining us here. What stood out to you about game 7, and how do you carry that over into game 1?
Well, I just thought we you could tell what we were trying to do. It was, you know, we play our game, and I thought we stuck with it. Obviously, for 60 minutes, maybe last 20 seconds, maybe not. But aside from that, it was a pretty good. You could tell we were on what we wanted to do, and obviously we stayed out of the unnecessary penalties and just kind of kept the game to where I felt like we were, you know, in control of it for the most part.
Yeah, I think you guys kept your composure really well in a situation that it would have been easy to not with all the emotions of a game 7. Jacob Slavin has a lot to do with that. He was nominated for the Lady Bing today, second year in a row. He is among the finalists. He won it last year. What was that, a Jacob Slavin masterclass in game 7?
Well, pretty much the whole series. I mean, he was lights out. Again, going against elite players at every shift, right? I mean, he never gets an easy shift, and not that there is one, but, you know, he's always playing against the top-end guys. And then he was contributing offensively, made just a beautiful play on the one goal. So he's doing it all for us right now, and not surprising.
Yeah, you're right. Not surprising. And he and Tony DeAngelo led the Hurricanes in points during the first round. Obviously, points from the blue line is key. The Rangers do it too, with Adam Fox and Keandre Miller. I mean, is that a key for you this series to continue to get production there?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we'd obviously like to see it some other places too, but no, we'll take it anywhere we can get it. I think you mentioned from, you know, the Rangers' point of view, I mean, we know Fox. That guy's dynamic and plays a ton, right? So we definitely have to make sure we make it at least hard on him to earn his points.
What has to get better from round one?
Well, I think every part of our game can be better. I think obviously special teams are going to be huge. We got even a better power play we're facing here. So in the way, like I said, we had a conversation earlier, they're definitely calling penalties. You know, it's not a traditional playoff kind of feel for most of it. It's, they're ringing them up. So, you know, we're going to need to stay out of the box. I think that's the big thing, and as best we can. There's going to be penalties that are just to happen, and that's fine, and there's going to be bad calls, that's going to happen, but it's just the necessary ones we got to avoid.
So I know Jordan Martinook skated. How close is he to a return?
Yeah, I think he's right there. Definitely thought about putting him in tonight even, but I like the way the game went the other night, obviously, and I thought Steven Lawrence was good, and so we'll keep the lineup the same for tonight.
And you're sticking with Antti Raanta, aren't you?
That one's a pretty easy decision, yeah. He's obviously, he had a great series for us, stepped up in a big, big situation, and you know, hopefully, obviously, we're going to need that. But the goaltending that the Rangers have, we're definitely going to need to have good goaltending on our end, too.
All right, I'm not going to ask you about Freddie Anderson other than this part because I know he hasn't skated yet. But is it a situation where when he is ready, he gets back in? Or is as long as Raanta is playing the way he is playing, just ride out number 32?
Wow. Let's have that conversation when that is even an option. So right now it's not an option, so it's not even worth bringing up, to be honest with you.
All right, good luck tonight. We will talk to you later.
Okay, buddy. See ya.
Yeah, that is what most people have expected, that as soon as Freddie Anderson is ready to go, that Anderson would get back in between the pipes. I actually think that is the way it will happen, but he's not ready. He hasn't skated. Remember all the people that tried to tell you that Anderson would be ready in round one?
Yeah,
At the start of round one.
Yeah.
I remember sending a secret message to a friend who I said, look, I know you've got great information all the time, but this is the opposite of what I'm hearing. I never thought that Freddie Anderson would be available in round one.
Yeah.
It was a pipe dream. Yeah, maybe theoretically if they had no other, you know, if they desperately needed him for game seven, maybe, but nah. Mm-mm. And we're now game one of the second series. And I mean, if he got back on the ice today, you know, in a morning skate situation, I think maybe you could see him by game three or four. Because I think it's going to take about a week's worth of practice before, you know, just getting reps on the ice before Freddie is ready to go back in a game. But honestly, I really think we're talking about round three. Mm-hmm. If the Hurricanes can get through. Now, I believe the Hurricanes are good enough to beat the Rangers with Antti Raanta or Peter Kochetkov.
Both.
Well, they might need both, right? Yeah. I mean, Raanta doesn't have a lot of history of starting a bunch of games in a row. So, but he was very, very good against the Rangers. His team was also very good against the Rangers.
This is the Adam Gold Show.